What time it is, man? It's your girl POC. We back live 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation every Friday. Eco word, eco word, eco word. Today is November the 1st. We are locked in on the 11th month of the year. Locked in, and I'm excited because we got a jam packed show every time we go live for you. Yes, you. Everything we do is a FUBU effect. Make sure you stay locked with us. You can give us a call, 215-634-8065, toll free 1-866-361-0900. I'm gonna do that one more time. 215-634-8065, toll free 1-866-361-0900. And you can always see my face as well as my guest beautiful face on Word TV. All you got to do is click that link in the bio to take you directly where you need to be, man. This Friday is the first Friday we've seen rain in almost 3 weeks. We actually have a meteorologist coming up on the other side of the show, the second half of the show, to really talk about why we had such a rain drought and the impact of having a rain drought and what does that look like for an urban city like Philadelphia. So you definitely want to stay locked for the entire show. But coming up first, we got a disruptor on the line, and I'm so excited to speak with him. He's doing some amazing work in city council, and I'm so excited for this young man, because when you think about what it means to be a leader in the city, you have so many people looking up to you because you say you're going to do something. You say when you get in office, these are the things you're going to do. And we got Councilman Nicholas O'Rourke on the line, who city at large, councilman at large, let's make sure we say that, who's been doing the work and making some noise at city council, specifically on the environmental justice side. We're going to be talking a little bit about gas commission reforms and a new bill targeting rental pricing fixing. So I'm really excited. Councilman, welcome to WRD. Welcome to EcoWork. Good morning. How are you feeling? Please introduce yourself and let the people know exactly who you're listening to.
First of all, thank you. Good morning to you, POC. This is the littest morning I've had. Thankful to be hopping in with you. For those who are listening, I am Nicholas O'Rourke. For those that struggle to pronounce my last name, I recently heard someone say, "Yeah, like New York." O'Rourke.
So okay, those like that need help,
that's how you say it. But yeah, Nicholas O'Rourke. I am, as you say, POC, a member at large of the Philadelphia City Council. I happen to also be the minority whip. Awesome. So for our new minority on council, I do serve as the whip alongside our leader Kendra Brooks, and it has been an honor to serve the city, to ask. It really is one of the honors of.
For sure. And you're doing some amazing work. You know, some people will say you've been a little disruption. You know, you've been a little bit disruptor up there in city council. Like, how do you feel about that? The fact that you're making noise and you're actually doing what you said you're going to do.
Well, I am, as I said, I'm honored to do this work. I am, before I am an elected official, in the many capacities I may show up in public life, I do identify and have a calling as a minister. I do pastor in Northeast Philadelphia. And in before times, before the U.S. kind of constructed the way that we think about things, there wasn't a difference between ministry in the church or ministry in the state. It was all service. And so I see this elected service as just an extension of my ministry. And at times we are called to, as they say, speak truth to power, to disrupt those things that are harmful to people. And so to be able to do that, not just in the spiritual realm, so to speak, but also in the secular one, certainly feels like a great honor. And I'm humbled to be able to do it.
I love that. And I, if you don't mind, I would love to ask you a question about that. I know we're here to talk about the gas commission reforms, but I would love to just ask you a quick question on that, because a lot of people say politics and religion don't mix, and you're doing a great job at it right now. And so how are you breaking that stereotype? Because a lot of people don't even want to go into those two spaces, let alone utilize both of them to work with you. You're not necessarily against you.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of politics and religion not mixing really is an Enlightenment idea. That is to say that the founding fathers, I think Madison, Monroe, one of them, I think it was Madison, kind of articulated, or Jefferson for sure, this idea of a separation between church and state. Mm-hmm. Prior to this very young country that we live in, the idea of religion or spirituality and secularity somehow being divided was unthought of. What constitutes the secular or the institutions in society are the values that our interiority kind of speaks to. And so Dr. Anthea Butler is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania as it relates to religion. She was asked this question about what she thought the state of the religion, the separation of church and state was today. She said, well, in theory, it's strong because people will tell you that there should be a separation of church and state. But in praxis, it's weak. Because whether or not we articulate that there should be this separation, the reality is we are all driven by values. We are all touched by certain things that we care about. And is that not the domain of the spirit? Mm-hmm. Those things that we care for, those things that we find value in, and how we can gather them and to be able to apply them to the way that we live so we can realize a beloved community. So, you know, government, politics, I should say, government is about working out in the face of of differences, inevitable distinctions that we have between each other, how do we work out a common life together where we have children with smiling faces and full bellies, where we have elders with roofs over their heads, where families can grow and thrive? How do we do that when we're all so different people? And so this really is, you know, this idea that there's a separation of the two. Really, we're talking about the same things, whether or not we want to label it religion or label it politics or government or not. Ultimately, it's about the common good for the common people.
I appreciate you breaking down that answer for us, Councilman. And I want to get right into today's conversation. You know, we're talking gas commission reforms. When it comes down to just specifically, if you can break it down for people to be better equipped to what's happening, because we are now in the fall, we're on our way to winter, and with climate change happening, I'm not sure if we're going to get a cold winter or a hot winter. I'm not sure, because yesterday on the 31st, it felt like it was time to put some steaks on the grill, right?
Sure.
So when it comes down to just the specifics of this gas commission reform, please talk to us a little bit about it.
Well, thank you again for even caring enough to ask about it. I, you know, flowing even from that previous conversation we just had about government and how we set things up. Mm-hmm. We are in the midst of an election season,
yes.
Right? We're drawing, prayerfully drawing it to a close here.
4 days away.
4 days away, 4 days away. And there is a lot of talk about voting, which is absolutely essential. And let me just put a plug in there and say, go and vote. If you are in the United States of America, go exercise your vote. I didn't tell you who to vote for, just go vote. That having been said, the last thing that we do in a functioning democracy, that's how we work out our common life together, the last thing that we do is vote. There are so many things that we do prior to that, in the midst of that, and after election season is over proper. And that looks like speaking truth to power. That looks like our taxes being taken out of our check, whether we like that or not. That looks like us running for office. That looks like going to the publicly accessible places to allow our values to be articulated, or for us to speak about the things that we care about, so that way we can shape our institutions to realize our world. Well, the gas commission that you've raised is the body that reviews and approves PGW's annual budget and the utilities business transactions. Mm-hmm. So as it relates to our energy, right? The gas works, right? As it relates to the power that powers our city, the gas commission is that body that reviews that institution's annual budget and the utilities business transactions. The gas commission is comprised of two mayoral appointees, two council appointees, and the city controller, right? So this is a public utility that is, and also a commission that is staffed by elected officials of sorts, or people who are in governing spaces. During the budget process proceedings, parties to the legal process can ask and get answers to questions that would inform their testimony and their legal brief. So when you have a concern around how the institution is dealing with gas or dealing with its power, there is a means by which the people, us, the citizens, can give voice to that and to say, hey, we want you to do these things differently than that way. We want you to put money here or there, whatever the case may be. This includes seeking discovery, providing their own expert witnesses, and cross-examination of PGW witnesses. In other words, the rules used to be that all kinds of groups, political organizations, businesses, and more could be involved in that budgetary process. Mm-hmm. Because PGW is a publicly owned company.
Yes.
The budget process
is public.
That's
the biggest part that we need to understand, a publicly owned company.
Correct. But now we have this issue of the people, the public themselves, not being able to have access to
no
the most
input,
aspect
yes.
of that process, right? Mm-hmm. The earlier stages of the process, advocates say, can influence the budget much more than any testimony at a public hearing. And this is the part of the process that the reforms are restricting access to. And that's something that we want to make sure that we call attention to, is that folks recognize that there are anti-democratic measures afoot. Folks are trying to shut out the voice of the public in the most crucial points of influence in the process, so that we can get a better product in the back end, and maybe we can mitigate some of the effects of the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, just speaking with people over this past year, that's something that the public and the people doing the work in the environmental justice space want to see. They want to be able to have an input, and they also don't want PGW holding so much power. Right now, technically, they own Philadelphia in the region because they're the only gas supplier right now. So just in that thought, you know, how can we make sure we're holding them accountable to do the things that is in the reform?
Well, certainly we have to recognize how we got here, right? The PGC proposed reforms restricting access to the budgetary processes mm-hmm. and Power Interfaith, one of the great organizing organizations out yes. here that the public involved in speaking truth to power and realizing our communities, they're the ones that sounded the alarm on what was happening, right?
Yes, we had them on the show to talk about it as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. After that, we had CLS's attorney on the energy unit, the designated public advocate for the PGC's process, wrote a letter in sharp opposition to the proposed reforms, and the PGC going against the advocate's wishes so blatantly is a signal of the overall anti-democratic bent of these reforms. So we have to understand that. What we know is that there are a number of efforts to try to shine light on this, mm-hmm. and we want people to pay attention to the actual call to action that Power is putting forward. They've started a position opposing the reforms, which can be found at this following link. I'm just going to put this up on the screen. It's at bit.ly/ no PGC reform. That's okay. What we want. Go ahead.
Please send that to me too. I can send that email. I mean, send that link out as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want folks to pay attention to that because the new rules that are proposed by the Gas Commission would restrict full participation in the early stages of the budget proceedings to community legal services, the public advocate, and the union PGW workers. All other entities would be excluded from these early stages. So we want folks to make sure that they are linking up with Power to make sure that we are shining a light on this and so that we can push back against what seems to me to be anti-democratic measures. We need to make sure that we are keeping the space for the public to speak what they desire to see change in the process. Otherwise, all of our dealings as it relates to gas and energy will be driven by profit and not by the people.
And that was actually going to be my very simple question I wanted to ask you before we went on to the rent. I wanted to ask you a question about as far as just utility prices in general. Can people look forward to being able to heat their home this winter without having to join programs like CAP and LIHEAP in order to be able to heat their homes and keep their families warm?
Well, we do want to make sure that as we're going into the winter, that folks do know about LIHEAP, right? Yes. LIHEAP
is open right now as well.
Absolutely. As we're approaching winter, we should let folks know that low-income home energy assistance program is accessible as of this coming Monday, the 4th, 2025. Please apply for that. It's a program that helps reduce stress for low-income homeowners and renters by paying their gas bill in whole or in part. So if you are looking to have cash in your pocket or have some help to pay your gas, to pay your bill, make sure that you're filling out for LIHEAP. But, you know, this is part of the reason why we want to get more public access into these proceedings, because Power Interfaith has pushed the PGC to include $500,000 in the budget to study the feasibility of networked geothermal energy, opening more paths to energy without fossil fuels. So ways by which we can actually reduce the cost of the energy that we need to heat our homes. Power is trying to make sure that our utilities are exploring those options so that we can reduce the burden on the people, on the citizenry. And so until we can get more public voices in there so that we can find means by which folks can get a clean, affordable energy, we need to make sure that folks do know about LIHEAP and are signing up for it and joining with Power so we can speak truth to power.
So you're saying people can turn the heat on this winter comfortably?
Turn it on. Like, there are different types of grants for LIHEAP. You have to know about LIHEAP Cash. Mm-hmm. That grant, it ranges from $200 to $1,000. That covers the heating bill. There's LIHEAP Crisis, right, for people who have received shutoff notices. PGW pays up to $1,000 to stop a gas shutoff, get service turned back on, or get fuel. Mm-hmm. This is something that's important. There's also the LIHEAP Crisis Interface, which provides for the repair or replacement of the heating system or the furnace, awesome. Which when you think about the actual infrastructure in the city, addressing as we're preparing to mitigate the effects of the climate crisis. This could be helpful as well in terms of retrofitting our homes. Mm-hmm. So these are things that folks should definitely be aware of. We cannot assume that people know because it's underutilized in a city that obviously has this as a major issue. So we want to encourage people to do that.
For sure. Thank you so much, Councilman, for joining in and rocking out with us this morning on WRD. Thank you for breaking down that gas commission reform because it's a lot in it. And, you know, if you don't really understand what's going on, you won't be able to swallow it all. So I appreciate you for breaking that down. But I want to quickly jump into our next subject. And I know we only have about 5 minutes left. And again, you're doing some amazing work in council right now. And last Thursday, you stood up and you got something pushed to Madam Mayor's desk. And it's about rent. And you're saving a lot of millennials' lives right now. But I want to ask you, because you threw the word algorithms in there, and I think that also contests to what we're dealing with right now just in society in general. But in what ways have rental pricing algorithms negatively impacted residents, particularly in a city like Philadelphia, where we have such a very diverse but also marginalized communities?
Yeah. Well, let me just say that the legislation, thank you for raising this up. We do want people to understand what has just taken place and what's about to be signed into law. We are.
Congratulations.
Thank you very, very, very much. So grateful to our team who was crucial in helping to realize this great achievement, and also to our colleagues on council who also were overwhelmingly supportive of our efforts. We are living in a city that is nearly 50% renters.
Yeah.
That is to say that almost every other person that you see that is a citizen of the city of Philadelphia is renting. They are tenants. This legislation that we have put forward targets the use of rent setting software, those that incorporate private competitor data. That data is pooled and filtered through proprietary R algorithms that aggregate rental prices across local markets, encouraging landlords to push the local price ceiling for housing. Mm. Okay. The software has led
to— Thank you for that breakdown.
Yes, indeed. This software that we have seen used in other cities has led directly to a rise in rental prices in peer cities like Phoenix, Arizona, like Washington, D.C., and the attorneys general of those jurisdictions have both filed suit against firms using this software. And so we wanted to make sure that here in the city of Philadelphia, as I said, every other person that you see that's a citizen here is likely renting, that we are protecting as these algorithms, this AI technology is getting out way farther ahead of us, cleaning up jobs and really creating a disparity in terms of knowledge and database, mm-hmm. that if we cannot catch up with the algorithm, that our job as elected officials is to protect the citizenry. I'm a renter. Me and my wife rent in this apartment that I'm sitting in right now. Most of the people that you know probably are renters before they're homeowners. And until we address this housing crisis that we have and have enough shelter for folks, then we need to protect renters in the meantime and fight for tenants' rights.
I love that. Thank you so much for breaking that down, because, you know, when it comes down to just affordable living and affordable housing, I feel like just talking to people who listen to my show, you know, as far as millennials, we feel like we're in a crisis. We feel like we got the wrong hand that was dealt, because we're not able to jump out there in our early 30s to buy homes. We have to be very responsible, because the interest rate is ridiculous. But then we also want to be smart, because we don't want to pay mortgage in an apartment, one bedroom apartment, right? So just understanding the people who are in the city of Philadelphia, what are they talking about? You know, as you push this bill forward, what were the people talking about to help you really come up with just concreting everything?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful also to the wider network of local electeds across the country who are really, you know, you've heard a lot of people talk about all politics is local. I heard someone recently say that if all politics is local, then all local politics is housing. We are in the midst of a housing crisis across the country, and local electeds all over are trying to think through ways to address this problem. And so what they're experiencing is what we're experiencing, what I've experienced, not just on the campaign trail, but since I've been inaugurated and seated in office.
Talk heavy, councilman.
has been folks talking about the rent is too damn high,
yeah.
right? Like it's a joke, it's a meme, it's a video, and it's also reality.
Yeah.
People are telling me that we are housing cost burdened, right? To say nothing of our utilities, which we just got done talking about.
Yeah.
There's so much weight on the shoulder to live comfortably in the city. And so if I am elected to represent the people, I want to hear what the people are saying. I want my heart to break for what is breaking people's heart. I want my pocket to feel what the people's pockets are feeling. And so that's what they're saying to me. That's what we're hearing. That's what we're seeing. And so we want to make policy that helps materially and measurably improve their lives.
I appreciate you, and you're doing the work. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. We're locked in right now. In November, you got two more months to knock it out and have an amazing year. 2024 has been a crazy year for the city of Philadelphia, but just in general, you know, as you said, we're in election season right now, and we really want to make sure that the people feel like they're being heard and their voices are being listened to. But first and foremost, their vote actually counts. So thank you for getting in office and doing exactly what you said you're going to do. Please let the people know how they can find more information, how they can stay locked, social media, website, how they can check you out as far as all the bills that you have pushed through.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Let me just put up one more call, that same call to action. Here's the link. POC will put it on the page in some way, but there's the link. Make sure you're following up with power. That's what democracy looks like. It isn't just, voting. It is also taking those call to action so we can change things. Also, come check out our social media pages. You can find us on Instagram. I think we're on X, God forbid, but we probably are. At Nicholas or Nick O'Rourke, PHL, I think is the handle. You can also find me on my personal page on Instagram. That's the only one I really use, at Nicholas underscore O'Rourke. You can also find us on the council pages as well. Go to phlcouncil.gov or com, one of the two, and you can find our page there. Please hit us up. Also, email me if you have any questions or trying to reach out to our office at nicholas.o'rourke@phila.gov. That's nicholas.o'rourke@phila.gov. We'll be happy to connect with y'all and realize the kind of Philadelphia that we need and deserve.
Yes, yes. I hope you get some rest this week, because coming up next week is going to be a very hectic Monday, Tuesday. So I definitely look forward to seeing you out there in the streets and getting the people to vote. Thank you so much again for the work that you're doing. I look forward to staying locked. Thank you.
Thank you, POC. Have a good one.
You already know what time it is. We better go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, again, we'll be speaking with Gregory Jenkins, who is a professor at the Department of Meteorology at Penn State. So we're going to be talking about this rain drought that we just experienced, but we're actually receiving rain right now, which I'm excited about because it was definitely impacting us here in the city of Philadelphia. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end of this break. Stay locked. Eco work, eco work, eco work.